Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Ezekiel today, chapter 37, and we'll start in verse 1. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses and then we'll be seated. And then I'm going to go head on into this. It's going to be good today. I feel like I got a good word for you. Ezekiel today, chapter 37, verse 1. Ezekiel is saying, "And the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and I said, Oh God, only you know. And then he said, Prophesy over these bones and say, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Amen. Y'all go ahead and be seated this morning. He said, "Bones, listen up. I got something to say." Now, I thank God that I'm not in a place today where I'm talking to some dry bones, because there's not a single dry bone in this building, I guarantee you. You can't walk into this building and be a dry bone. You're full of faith. You're full of the Spirit of God. You're ready for God to do something. Man, I can tell anytime anybody speaks, anytime we were worshiping today, man, I want to pack y'all's worship up and just bring it with me to Houston. So, y'all, anytime you guys want to travel, just come. You got a welcome invitation at my church. I was like, man, forget me. Let's just worship all day. That was so fine. I love it. I love being in a place where people worship. Because, you know, it creates an environment. It creates a place where God can begin to move. Have you noticed that there's power in an environment? Have you noticed that when you walk into a barbecue place, it doesn't smell like fish? You know why? Because when you walk into a barbecue place, what do you want? You want barbecue. So they want it to smell like barbecue. So when you go in, it creates an atmosphere. They spend millions of dollars to understand these things. McDonald's spends millions of dollars to find out that red and yellow make you want to get French fries, make you want to buy a Big Mac. I used to work when I was a teenager. I worked at Abercrombie & Fitch at the mall. And they would go around before the store opened and spray their cologne in the air. Spray it on all their clothes so that when you walked in, that smell hit you. The sound was thumping. They wanted to create an experience. They wanted to create an atmosphere. We have schools where we are. We have a K-12 private Christian school at our church. And the environment that a child is in at home is so important, because you can teach them at school, but if they have a bad home life, you can tell that there's a difference between a child that has a good home life, that has parents, or a parent that helps, and one that has nothing. You can tell the environment makes a difference, because a lot of times you are in your environment, but your environment gets on you. I take my little daughter, and she takes a bath every night. That's good, I guess. You know, the kids should. She's 3 and a half. She's almost 4. And I love it, because she'll get in the tub and her little feet are just, they're as soft and as perfect as can be. Like, I mean, I know that she's my child, so I think she's the greatest thing there ever was, but she's got the most beautiful little feet in the entire world. And it's so funny, because she'll get in that bathtub, and after about 20 or 30 minutes of her being in the tub and playing, when she gets out of the tub, man, we laugh about it every time, because I turn her foot around and she's sitting there and she's looking at her bare foot, and now it doesn't look so soft. It doesn't look just normal. It's all wrinkly. And I said, "Oh my God, mercy." I said, "Man, you're like 90 years old on your foot." And she's looking at me with eyes as big as can be, like, "Dad, what happened?" And it's because what happened? The environment, the outside, got on the inside. You see, now I'm not talking about the bathtub today. I'm not talking about wrinkly fingers and wrinkly toes. But how many of y'all know that sometimes when you get into a bad situation, the outside, if you're not careful, can get on the inside. The outside situation, the trouble, the issues, the surroundings that you're in can begin to affect you. Ezekiel got taken to a land, a valley of dry, decomposing, beat up, dry bones. And I begin to read this, and I don't spend, I'll be honest with you, I don't spend a ton of time in the book of Ezekiel. I read Ezekiel, and I study, but I mean, if I have the choice between the book of John and the book of Ezekiel, I'm taking John 10 times out of 10. Like, I just, you know, I feel like I like John a little bit more. Ezekiel's good. But I don't spend a ton of time here, but as I was studying for this message and I was reading this and I was like, man, God took him to a valley of dry bones. And I was like, man, what's God talking to him about before this? Because I always know this scripture, but what's God saying before this? So I reversed a little bit and I went to Ezekiel 36 and I read in verse 34. And God said, he's speaking to Ezekiel, talking about the nation of Israel. And he said, this desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass it. And they will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. And the cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Man, I don't know today if the devil has tried to lay waste to your life, if he's tried to make you desolate, tried to break you, tried to bruise you, tried to hurt you, but God said your life is not going to lie desolate where people will walk by and say, man, they're broken. Man, they used to be great. Man, they used to be something. God said, I'm going to make your life like the Garden of Eden. I'm going to make you perfect. I'm going to make you righteous. I'm going to make you beautiful. So I don't know today if your life feels like a graveyard. But I'm telling you, God is speaking today to the desolate areas of your life. Sometimes it feels like we go from the garden to the graveyard. Because God was talking to Ezekiel about a garden in chapter 36, but then all of a sudden he takes him to a graveyard. You see, we get into Sunday morning, we come to church, and man, the music's playing, and the atmosphere is right, and you're surrounded by people that love you, people that care about you. You hear a message that encourages you, that fills you with spirit and fills you with life, and you walk out of this place like, man, I can do anything. You walk out of the garden of Sunday into the graveyard of Monday, and you step right back in to the graveyard of your marriage, the graveyard of your family, the graveyard of your job, the graveyard of everything that's trying to come against you. And you've got to figure out how to get your garden into your graveyard. You got to figure out how to build a bridge between your garden and your graveyard. And you say, how do I do that? How do I get from the garden to the graveyard? You know how you get there? You get there through your words. The way you build a bridge, the way that you can get today to affect your tomorrow, is you build a bridge with your words. You've got to stop talking about what is wrong and start talking to what's going to be. You got to stop talking about, man, God, everything in my life is messed up. My family is messed up. My job is messed up. My kids are messed up. Everything's wrong. You got to stop talking to God about all the issues that are there and start talking to what is there. Man, I know I'm as guilty as anybody. I spend all my time sometimes when I pray to God. I spend all my time talking to God about what's going on, describing to him about my situation, describing to him about all the things, all the issues. And I spend more time talking to God about my situation and not enough time talking to my situation about my God. Because the second that you start telling your graveyard about how good the garden is, the graveyard begins to shift. The graveyard can't stay that way any longer. And God is sitting there in heaven saying, look, I don't want you to describe the dry bones. God said, I know what dry bones look like. I know what your life looks like. God said, stop describing what you see and start speaking what I said until what you see looks like what I said. God says, stop talking about what you see and start saying what I told you to say until what you see looks like what I say. You say, well, I'm not a prophet. Yes, you are. Sure you are. Everybody in this building can be a prophet. You can prophesy into your life. You can prophesy into your children. You can prophesy into your family. You can prophesy into your job. You can begin to tell your job that it's going to be good. You can tell your money that it's going to last. You can tell your children that they're going to be great. You can tell your husband that he's going to get saved. You can begin to speak into those situations. But you've got to speak life into it. You can't just describe what's wrong with it. Ezekiel didn't describe the bones to God. He didn't look at them and say, man, those are dry bones. Man, those bones are dry and they're cracked and they're white and they're kind of scattered around. He didn't say any of that. He got there and God's like, boy, can those bones live? Ezekiel's like, I suppose they can. I guess so, God. You're God. You tell me. That's what he did. You see, I was talking to my daughter yesterday, and it's funny because Christians, which is what we are, sometimes we get into church and we hear the way people talk. We hear what they say, and what we do is we begin to mimic what we hear because it's the right thing. So we hear everybody else is amening and saying hallelujah and lifting their hands and saying glory to God. So we think, okay, I can say that, and there's nothing wrong with that because I think you should say those things. I think you should get around people that are doing it and do the same thing. My little girl, I was talking to her on the phone last night, and this is the first time I don't travel too much anymore because, you know, we got three little kids, and my wife is a saint. Because she stays with the kids and I'm out. And so when I left this time, my daughter is at an age now where she really knows that I'm leaving for a day or two. And so she just went to pieces yesterday and cried. And so I took a picture of the two of us. And I said, anytime you miss me, look at this picture. It'll be okay. And so like three or four times on the drive from Houston in 3 hours, we FaceTimed while I'm driving so that she could see me. And so she was like, Daddy, I miss you so much. I said, Mercy, baby, I miss you too. I miss you so much. She said, man, I miss you so much, Daddy. And I said, I know, Mercy, I miss you. And then she's like, Mommy, I miss you. She's like, Mavie, I miss you. Mackie, I miss you. Grandma, I miss you. Baba, I miss you. I was like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I felt real good. I felt all this pride. Like, man, my little girl misses me. This is so awesome. And then she says, Mommy, I miss you. I'm like, you miss her? You're using her phone. What do you mean you miss her? She's standing right there with you. Like, it was great that she missed me until she starts telling her stuffed animals how much she misses them. And I'm like, whoa now. Now, I mean, I know she misses me, but it's funny because she's just saying what she knows to say. So sometimes we get into a rhythm where we'll just repeat it and we'll just say the words that we're supposed to say because I could be like, man, God is so good. You know what you would say? Amen. Man, God's grace is so powerful. And you would say, amen. Amen. Man, God is a good God. Amen. Man, God is so powerful. Amen. Man, God is so gracious. Amen. The mercy of God is so good. Amen. My dog died yesterday. Oh. I did that in my church. I got 15 amens. I was like, yo, chill out. My dog really didn't die yesterday. But I was just showing you that sometimes we get into a cycle where we're saying things, but we don't even know sometimes what we're saying. We don't even realize what we're doing. We're just doing it. We're walking through the motions. But God said, I didn't call you to walk through the motions. I didn't call you to just step out of it. Because you see, we think so often, because we know the right vernacular, we know the right scriptures, we know the right cadence, we know the right things to do, that when we speak, God's going to move. But look, the question of your spiritual maturity is not the amount of scriptures you have memorized. It's not the amount of hours that you pray. It's not the amount of Bibles that you own that are highlighted and underlined and the pages are all torn up. It's not about that. You want to know how you know if you're a mature Christian? When you speak, do things change? Because when you're speaking in faith, if nothing's changing, you got to figure something out. Because when you speak, the world around you ought to change. Why? Because God said your world should look like heaven on earth as it is in heaven. So if you're not speaking and things aren't changing, you got to figure out, God, what do I have to do? So that when I speak, my situation will change. That's what faith is all about. The problem is we have no problem believing God. I don't have any problem believing that God can do great. You know what my problem is that God can use my bones. I said, God, I got no problem believing you're awesome, that you're great, that you can do anything, but can you do it through me? I can believe that God can do it through Brandon. I can believe that God can do it through Pastor Steve. I can believe that. But can I believe that God can do it through me? Can you believe that God can do it through you? Man, the second that you believe that God can do it through you, you don't need me. I'm nobody special. I'm just an average Joe. But the thing is I have got to the place where I believe that God can do anything. It's not about describing your problems. Man, I believe that God brought me here today to just challenge you to stop describing your problems and start declaring the promises of God over those areas in your life. Stop describing what's wrong and start declaring how great God is, how big God is, how powerful God is. The Bible continues and it says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And you will know that I am the Lord. Look how specific God is. He doesn't just say those bones are going to live. He said you're going to come together. And I'm going to put tendons on you. And I'm going to put ligaments on you. I'm going to put skin on you. I'm going to put flesh on you. I'm going to create you and put you together. He's specific. It's like the difference between a paramedic and a doctor. A paramedic is trained to keep you alive from where you are to the hospital. They are trained in that moment to keep you alive for a certain amount of time. But the doctor is not trained to keep you alive for 5 minutes or for 15 minutes. The doctor is trained to keep you alive for the rest of your life, for as long as possible. There's a difference between a paramedic and a doctor. And in your life, you've got to begin to speak like a doctor. You got to say, God, I'm not trying to get to tomorrow. I'm trying to get to 30 years from now. I'm not in this for a sprint. I'm in a marathon right now. I'm running the race of life, and I'm not planning on dying tomorrow. I got a lot of life left. So I got to figure out what I've got to do so that the rest of my life can go so good. Man, look, God's got a great plan for you. And what does God want Ezekiel to do? He wants him to describe the miracle before there's any evidence. He said, what do you see? Dry bones? Good. Tell them to live. Start telling them that they're going to come together. Start telling them that there's going to be ligaments. Man, can you imagine how stupid Ezekiel felt? Standing in a valley of dry bones and saying, all right, guys, it's time to live. Come together. Come on, skin. Come on, ligaments. Come on, tendons. Come on, flesh. Come on. It's time to live. I can't imagine what he was thinking. But he began to describe not what the bones were, but what they were going to be. Could you imagine in your life if you made a shift from what things are to what they could be? I went to the grocery or the little corner store the other day. I had to get a pack of gum. I like to chew gum. I chew gum like a cow sometimes. I chomp on it, and so people laugh at me, but I don't care because I like it. And so I'm chewing some gum, and so I go to the corner store, and apparently I think it was on Tuesday, and they were doing that Mega Millions draw for $1.6 billion. And so I walk into the corner store expecting to just buy my gum and leave. There was like 30 people in line. I was like, what is going on? Like, is the rapture going to take place? And these people are getting ready. Like, what's, I don't understand what's happening. And I stood in line. I didn't know what was going on. I said, hey, what are you doing? Guy's like, boy, I'm here to buy lottery tickets. I was like, you're here to what? He's like, yeah, man, I'm buying lottery tickets. I said, for what? I'm ignorant. I don't even know. He's like, well, man, there's a lottery, $1.6 billion. I was like, man, that's awesome. He's like, yeah. He said, man, I'm going to do some great stuff when I win. I said, oh, really? And he began to tell me everything he was going to do with the money. And then a person in front of him is like, man, I wouldn't do that. Here's what I would do. And then a person in front of him is like, man, I would do this. So I got 20 people now telling me what they're going to do when they win the lottery. They were standing there dreaming about what life could be. Now, I understand it's the lottery and not a single one of them won. Like somebody, wherever, South Carolina won. But you know what? They were dreaming. They weren't telling me how bad their marriage was. They weren't telling me how beat up their car is. They weren't telling me how miserable their job was. They were telling me about what they were going to do. And I was thinking, man, if the people of God could get like that, because look, you've got something better than the lottery. You got something better than the Mega Millions or the Powerball. You got the God that created heaven and earth, and he's living on the inside of you. And he said, if you could start dreaming today, start imagining how great life could be. Could you imagine what God could do with you? And so Ezekiel started to prophesy. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I like that. There was a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons came on, and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. He prophesied like he was commanded to. And watch, he saw nothing. He didn't see the picture when he started, but he had the power. Man, I'm telling you, in your life, you may not see the picture yet, but you've got the power living on the inside of you. There is power inside of you to create something great in your life. You may not see the picture yet. He said, man, God, I don't hear anything. I mean, I don't see anything. But all of a sudden, it says he heard a sound. Faith comes by hearing. He heard a rattling sound. And I'm telling you today, what if God was saying today that the things that were rattling you, He's about to start to rattle them? What if the stuff that was coming against you is not there to destroy you? It's not there to ruin you, but God is about to use it to increase you. God's about to bless you. Look, I don't know if somebody's life is about to come together, but I feel like you didn't come here on accident. You didn't come here by chance today. God is bringing something together. God is causing there to be a rattling sound inside of you. Can you hear the sound today? Hit your neighbor and say, it's coming together. Hit your second choice neighbor and say, it's coming together for you too. Ezekiel was preaching so good that bones started to come together. I said, God, I just want to preach a message good enough where somebody's marriage can come together, where their money can come together, where their kids can come back home, where their family can come back together, where they can get that job that they've been believing for. They can get the promotion that they were hoping for. They can get that life that they've always dreamed about but been told they could never have. I said, I just want to tell somebody, I want to declare over somebody that the impossible is about to happen. Something good is about to change in your life. When you change what you say about your surroundings begin to come together the way you say they were supposed to. When you change the way you talk, stop telling your husband how worthless he is. Stop telling your wife that she can't cook. Stop telling your kids, shame on you, how dare you, you're the worst kids ever. Stop telling them those things. Start speaking life into your situation and watch what happens. Start speaking encouragement to your family and watch what happens. Stop saying how much you hate your job. Start saying, it may not be the best job, but it's the best one I've got. And I'm going to be the best at it until something changes. I'm going to do something. Start speaking life and watch what happens. The bones started to come together. The skin started to come. The flesh started to come. They looked better. You ever find somebody like that? They look good. They're all put together. They're tanned and they're Botoxed and they're tucked and tightened and everything looks great. They got their Sunday best on, wearing the three-piece suit. They got their church hat on. Got their best shoes on. Everything looks good. They got everything. They got their Bible. It's all beat up. They drive a nice car. They got a great family. Everything looks perfect. They're so religious, so great. And they walk in and they're all put together, but they don't have something. They're missing something. These bones were put together, the tendons and the flesh and the skin. They looked right. They were standing at attention. This army, they used to be bones, but now they're skin. They're standing, but they're missing something. They're missing the breath. He said, man, there's no breath in these bones yet. There's no breath. So God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And breath entered them and they came to life and they stood on their feet, a vast army. And I believe that God is saying today the problem with this church, not this church, but the church in general, is that so many people are out of breath. They lost their breath. And I was walking in that old man mask. I started walking, I don't even know where I was, somewhere over here. And I was walking down the hill, and I was in, it's like a full mask. I could barely breathe in the thing. And it was kind of hot outside. I was in a suit, and I'm walking like an old man, I don't know. But I'm stumbling around. I can barely see. I can barely breathe. I'm out of breath. I could barely breathe in the thing, and I didn't want to take it off. But I could barely breathe. I was out of breath. And it hindered what I was able to do. Because if you're out of breath, how can you do anything? And so what happened is I wanted to do more than what I could, but I was out of breath. What if today God is saying, I've got something so great planned for you, but the devil has been trying to steal your breath. He's been trying to rob you of the ability to breathe. Look, God, when he said breathe into them, it's the word ruach, which is a word for praise. It's a word for breathe. It means they were filled with breath. When God breathed life into Adam, it's that same word. He breathed into him. Some of us have our lives formed, but our lives are not yet filled. We've lost our filling. We're a skeleton formed but not filled. I believe that God is trying today to breathe into some dead things.
Breathe into some dead dreams. Breathe into some dead hopes. Breathe into some dead relationships. Breathe into what you thought was dead and gone and lost forever. And God said, today I have a breath for you. I have something that's going to reignite that dream, reignite that hope, reignite your family, reignite that plan on the inside of you that you thought was gone forever. But all of a sudden God is going to, he's going to breathe. When my boys were born, when they came out of the womb, I sat there and I prayed. And I said, God, just let him breathe. Just let him breathe. Just let him breathe. Just let him. I was saying it out loud. The doctors were looking at me like I was crazy. I said, let him breathe. Let him breathe. Let him breathe. And they smacked him on the back. And all of a sudden, they and then they started crying. And I was like, let him be quiet. Let him be quiet. Let him be quiet. Let him be quiet. But I just wanted him to breathe. I said, just breathe. Because if you don't have breath, you don't have life. Some of us have forgotten how to breathe. The devil tries to take our breath away. That's why he's hitting you so hard. That's why he's hurting you so much. He's not just trying to destroy you. He's trying to rob your breath. He's trying to rob your ability to breathe. Man, I believe some of you came this morning so that you could breathe again. You came this morning so you could catch your breath. Not so you could hear a nice sermon. Not so you could lift your hands and worship. You came so that you could catch your breath. Why? Because if you ever were able to catch your breath, you would be unstoppable. There is something inside of you that's so great. God has put something in you that is so powerful that if you could just learn to breathe again, you would be unstoppable. But what does the devil do? He tries to take your breath away. And I love this, and if the band can come in and help me up, I'm going to close this down in 3 minutes. But watch this. The Bible says that he's standing there, and he says, breathe, breathe, breathe. Let breath come in. Let breath come in. And Ezekiel called out, and he said, from the north, the south, the east, the west, the four winds begin to blow, begin to breathe into them. Man, I love it because Ezekiel was standing in a valley that is surrounded by dry bones. But you know what else he was surrounded with? He was surrounded with the breath. Every bone that was there, it was there. But you know what else was there? The breath of God was there. Look, whatever's surrounding you today, just know that God is surrounding what's surrounding you. You might think the enemy is wrapped around you, but God is saying today, you are not surrounded. He said, what is surrounding you has been surrounded by me. God is surrounding your enemy. There is breath all around you. And if you can just catch your breath. If you can just breathe again, it will turn your graveyard into a garden. And watch this. Some of us, we breathe in. I want everybody in the building to take one deep breath. Go. Now without blowing it out, take another one. Now take another one. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. Now you can let that out. You can do what you want. Look, you can't do it. You say, but I wanted to breathe again. I wanted to breathe. I wanted to bring it in. Bring it in. You can't breathe it all like that. What do? You breathe in. You breathe out. You breathe in. You breathe out. When you breathe in, you're breathing in the power of God, the promise of God. When you breathe in, you're breathing in God's presence. But watch, when you breathe out, you're praising God. You're saying, God, I may not see it yet, but I praise you. God, I may not feel it yet, but I praise you. God, I may not be on the mountaintop, but I praise you. God, I may not be where I wanted to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I may not have the job I wanted, but thank God I've got a job. I may not be in the marriage I wanted, but thank God my marriage can get better. My children can get better. My life can get better. You got to realize when you breathe out the praises of God, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, all of a sudden God can begin to work in you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 150, I love it, praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise him for in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the string of pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbal. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Look, I don't know if you've got breath today. I don't know if God is breathing in you. I don't know if the power of God is in you. But I'm telling you, if you've got breath today, I want you to get on your feet. I want you for 60 seconds. I want you to put your hands together. I want you to shout to God. I want you to praise him. You say, yeah, but I'm not where I want to be. Thank God you're not where you used to be. God, I may not have everything I want. I didn't win the Mega Millions. You don't need the Mega Millions. You've got the God that created all of it living on the inside of you. But you've got to praise. You got to praise God like everything is back to the way it should be. You got to praise like God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. God's got hopes for you. God's got dreams for you. Man, I praise my kids every single day. I tell them how great they are. When they make a mess on my floor, I tell them how great they are. When my daughter says, "Daddy, I don't like you," which is crazy because I'm the best person there ever was. So I don't know how she couldn't like me, but she's just three. She'll say, "Daddy, I don't like you." I said, "I don't care. I love you. I don't care what you say. You're the greatest little girl there ever was." I tell her how great she is. Why? Because I got dreams for my kids. I got plans for my kids. I got hopes for my kids. And Brandon's exactly right. My boys are going to do something great. Hopefully they're going to play in the NFL and give me tickets every single week. I'm going to just retire for that 6 months. I'm going to go to football games. I mean, man, I'm telling you, I got plans for them. Watch, God has plans for you. He's got dreams for you. He's got hopes for you. And so often we hear, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son." And you know what we think? We think, yeah, God loved the world. But you know what? I like to take that down to a personal level. Because it's not just God loved the world. God loved you. God loved you so much. He loved you so much. You say, "Yeah, but you don't know where I've been." You know what? God does. He knows exactly where you've been. He knows exactly what you've done. And He still loves you so much. I think we forget sometimes that we serve a God who's big enough to know everything, but He's small enough to care about everything. God cares about you. He loves you. And look, I don't know today if the devil's been attacking you. He's been messing with your family. He's been messing with your job. He's been messing in your health. He's trying to cause sickness to come upon you. He's trying to rob your breath. But if you say, "Man, preacher, that's me. The devil's been trying to rob my breath," and you say, "I came to church today so that I could breathe again. I came to catch my breath," and you say, "I need God to just fill me today with His Spirit. I need God to just give me some breath again." Look, I don't know if that's anybody today, but if you say, "Man, that's me. I need to breathe again. I need to live again. I need to hope again. I need to dream again. I need some life to come inside of me again." If that's you this morning, I want you to get out of your chair and come right up here to the front, and I want to pray with you for just a minute. And I'm telling you, God is about to wreck your world. He's about to change you forever. He's about to deliver you. He's about to set you free. If you say, "Man, I came today because I need a miracle." If you're sick in your body, if your marriage is hurting, if you got fear that's come against you, man, I want you to get out of your chair. If you feel like the devil is coming against you and you just need to breathe again, you say, "I need to catch my breath. I need to catch my breath." Man, come out of your chair, and I believe God is going to change something. He's going to give you that breath back. He's going to fill you. He's going to change you. He's going to deliver you. There's going to be hope living inside of you. You're going to dream. You're going to dream again. You're going to go home and start planning all the great things that God's going to do. You say, "Man, I don't see it yet, but I know it's real. I may not see it, but I know it. I may not feel it, but I know it." That's what faith is all about. Faith says, "I don't have to see it. I don't have to know it. I don't have to believe it. I just know that my God can and my God will." And I'm telling you, if you can believe it, you can say it, you can have it. And God is going to do something so big and so great. And so, church, I want you all over to just lift your hands.